From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. And that is the work of composer Missy Mazzoli, though the word composer doesn't begin to describe her. Mazzoli has spent her relatively young career testing the boundaries of classical music, composing, teaching, and touring with the chamber group Victoire, which uses not only traditional strings, but also keyboards and distorted guitars. This is her latest effort and her first opera, called Song from the Uproar. It's inspired by the short, tragic life of a 19th-century Swiss explorer named Isabel Eberhardt.
At a very, very young age, she experienced some tragedy. Her mother, father, and brother all died within 3 years of each other. And very soon after that, she traveled to North Africa by herself, and she dressed as a man. She joined a Sufi sect that typically excluded women, but because she was dressed as a man, they accepted her. She fell in love with an Algerian soldier. She fell out of love with an Algerian soldier. She had this very turbulent, very interesting life. Quickly, love, if I breathe, how quickly, love. When she was 27, she tragically died in a flash flood. And in this flood, a lot of her journals and writings were washed away. And her husband and other people had to pull the papers out of the water and dry them off in these big urns. And so that writing is what became the source of the libretto. So I just loved the idea of this opera that literally comes out of the flood.
What makes a good opera to you?
Well, I love a lot of opera from a huge span of time. You know, everything from Monteverdi to, you know, John Adams, his piece Nixon in China, or Philip Glass, Einstein on the Beach. These are stories that I feel are in some ways about my life. You know, that they're about love and loss and frustration and confusion and the pain of being a human being. I feel whatever opera I write will have that sort of personal, intimate quality to it.
The story has these really lovely moments of atmospherics and electronic sounds. The interludes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe what's going on in this one?
What you're hearing is a pre-recorded vocals from another part of the opera. So in a sense, it's sort of like a remix, the way that a DJ would, you know, take a piece of music and then sort of pull out parts and loop them and put on reverb. So we're hearing sort of this echoing voice of Isabel Eberhardt that is in the theater, is coming out of the speakers. No one is singing that. It's just a sort of washy, ghostly vocal. And on top of it, you have the clarinet player. And so electronics are a big part of the opera. I mean, I spent years literally, inviting all the singers from the opera over to my living room, giving them a cup of tea, and then asking them to sing specific things into a microphone, and I would record them.
Which is exactly how DJs do it.
Right, right. You know, and I feel very close to that tradition and drew a lot of inspiration from that. And then I would take those audio samples and then rework them back into the live performance.
What are some of the ways that the landscape is changing for composers? How do you make a living these days?
For myself, it's a huge combination of things. I'm lucky enough to have commissions from, you know, orchestras, from string quartets, from other ensembles, from soloists. That is a big part of my income. And I also do a lot of teaching privately out of my home. I teach composition and also via Skype for young students around the world.
You teach it online to them, basically.
Yes, exactly. And I'm a performer. You know, I have my own ensemble, Victoire, and we travel around as a band.
Is that unusual? I mean, help us understand what the traditional path would be. What would be the fantasy path to being a successful composer 15 years ago?
Right. My sense is that it would be much more about getting these big commissions, you know, getting your New York Phil commission, getting an opera commission, these things that sort of come from one source. And now I think that because funding in the arts is so tricky, the composers are really branching out. I think there was this idea in the past of the composer still as this solitary genius, which to me is the most out-of-date thing that you could ever think of. I mean, the idea of this composer alone in his studio just sort of cranking out masterpieces and then mailing them away and never talking to anyone. And I think that that is such a powerful image, and it still has sway over how people think of composers. But the reality could not be more different. I mean, you have to be incredibly social. You have to think on your feet. You have to be really innovative in how you make a living and find funding and get your own work out there.
The world you describe sounds much closer to the kind of indie pop DIY ethic, I think, I hear for pop music.
Exactly. And my goal as a composer was always to take the best of all these genres. So to take the best things out of the pop and indie world and the best things out of the classical world. I recently played a concert in Detroit with my band, and it was at this sort of like the most DIY of DIY clubs. And we went on after midnight, and we were really nervous because we thought, okay, we're coming at these people with violins and clarinets, and it's very much composed classical music, even though it has keyboards and electronics and drum beats and all these things that sort of put it more in a pop realm. We just didn't know how people were going to react, and we were so overwhelmed and surprised by their positive reaction. And that's been my experience again and again and again.
Hearing you talk, actually, now it makes a lot of sense why you would be attracted to Isabel Eberhardt's story, frankly. Kind of carving your own path here.
I do feel that way. And that was one of the things that really attracted me to her story, was all the ways that I felt that it paralleled not only my life, but the lives of lots of young people, particularly young women today. You know, Isabel didn't feel that she had any role models. She struggled with the fact that, you know, she had this very independent lifestyle, but was very much in love with the man who became her husband. And how do you sort of reconcile that? And that's a very contemporary issue that many, you know, women I know have. And so it was sort of, it was very comforting in a way to approach this story and really go deep into it. I took great comfort from her words and her journals.
Well, Missy Mazzoli, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Missy Mazzoli. Her CD is Song from the Uproar, The Lives and Deaths of Isabel Eberhardt. You can hear more of it at our website, nprmusic.org.